I'm now joined by Mike Winter, founder and CEO of Leatherback Asset Management, who back in November, they launched their first ETF, the Leatherback Long Short Alternative Yield ETF, ticker symbol LBAY, L-B-A-Y, and this won't be their last ETF. So their goal is to completely disrupt the alternative ETF space. And Mike is now on the line with me from Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Mike, a pleasure connecting.
Yes, thank you for the kind intro.
Okay, so I usually start with the same question of any new ETF entrant, so I'm going to do the same with you. Give us your quick backstory. Why did you get involved in ETFs?
Sure. So I have, I guess, over 20 years now of investment management experience. Feels like even longer than that. I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri. My father was an executive at the old A.G. Edwards, a national brokerage firm based in St. Louis that utilized mutual funds as an investment solution for its clients. So I feel like I've sort of been in a front row seat watching the investment management industry evolve. Kind of fast forward, I went to school in Boston, Boston College. Boston is the mutual fund capital of the world. So some of the relationships my father had with the mutual fund firms in Boston led to my first job coming out of college, which happened to be in July of 2000, which was really the top of the dot-com bubble. I joined Putnam Investments, which I think at the time was the second largest mutual fund firm on the planet, $440 billion with significant exposure to growth equities. I was in their investment trading program, kind of like an investment bank would have. They hired roughly 20 undergrads into their trading program with a set 3 years with the goal to matriculate to business school. So I joined July 2000, went to the University of Chicago. I guess it's now the Booth School. It was just University of Chicago, GSB, in the fall of 2003. And after business school, after watching the market go down for my first 3 years in the business and growth equity suffer, I wound up at a value-focused long short hedge fund, Otter Creek. I was there for 15 or 16 years, and we evolved from a LP offshore long short strategy product to a alternative mutual fund. We launched a mutual fund at the end of 2013, and I was co-lead manager of that mutual fund through the end of 2019. I left, I guess, the end of 2019, and one of the relationships I formed while there was with Eric Falkeis, who is the founder and CEO of Tidal. Tidal is an ETF issuer, many active issues, and he and I began the discussions in the spring of 2020, and I put out our prospectus in July, and now here we are 3 months into our first long short ETF, LBAY.
And by the way, where does the Leatherback name come from?
Great question. So Leatherback is a sea turtle. They're plentiful where I am in South Florida. I'm in Palm Beach Gardens. The Leatherback sea turtle is the largest turtle in the turtle species. It grows to 7 feet long and almost 2,000 pounds. And the migration patterns are such where it's a very deep dive. It's actually a fast turtle, and it migrates the globe. So when you think about investing, oftentimes you think about a turtle. It's synonymous, and I just thought the sea turtle was an appropriate moniker, and I have four boys, and they absolutely adore sea turtles and the Leatherback in particular, so hence the name.
I like it. Very, very creative. Okay, so before we get to the ETF, I thought we could do a quick 101. I always like to cover the basics. What is a long-short strategy? Like, what's typically the goal of it?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. It's pretty simple. When you think about long short, the strategy is effectively buying or going long securities or stocks that are deemed undervalued and will appreciate in value or price. And then on the flip side, selling or shorting securities that are overvalued and will decline in price. So with setting up a long short strategy, it's really a product or strategy that can appreciate with capital market, equity markets, but also brings less volatility, less beta, and oftentimes has some nice downside protection. So it's a product that can bring an equity-like return with substantially less risk. And what's really interesting to us is when you think about long short, historically it's been a limited partnership type product where one needed to be an accredited investor. Oftentimes they had their money locked up for a significant amount of time. Fees were high. And there was really very little transparency. So bringing it in as an ETF that's fully transparent, relatively low cost to other long short, we think is an attractive a product. And there's not many ETFs that are offering it.
Yeah, so your ETF, LBAY, it's actively managed. It is a long short alternative yield strategy. Explain the process for us.
Yeah, sure. Kind of stepping back, when you think about active management, in our view, active management does well if the investor or the portfolio managers are long-term focused, have lower turnover, lower fees, and there's some concentration element. So when we think about our actively managed product, we have all of those attributes. And being a long short strategy, our process is kind of to that concentration point. We're looking for our best 30 to 40 long ideas and best 20 short ideas. And with LBAY, there's two goals to it. It's one, the capital appreciation component with less volatility, but also there's an income generation component. So many of the securities that we have on the long side pay dividends. In the event where we're invested in a preferred or a bond, there's a nice coupon associated with it.
On that income side, can you give us an idea? I mean, how does this compare to maybe the S&P 500 dividend yield or 10-year treasury or whatever you want to compare it to?
Sure. I mean, right now, I think the 10-year treasury is 1.4. The S&P 500 dividend yield is, I think, just shy of 1.5%, which is the lowest it's been in 20 years. We have now paid out our third consecutive month of distributions, and the SEC yield, which is the terminology that we need to use, is roughly 3.5%. So our product is paying 6 cents a share on our NAV per month, which is more than twice the dividend yield of the S&P and more than twice the yield of a 10-year treasury.
And I was looking at the prospectus on this ETF, and just to be clear, so this can hold large, mid, and small-cap U.S.-listed stocks. It can hold corporate bonds, high-yield ETFs, REITs, business development companies, preferreds. Is all that correct? I mean, the universe is pretty wide.
That is correct. It's a very wide universe. When you think about having roughly 40 names, 30 names are common stocks, and then the incremental 5 to 10 names are in that, call it, other eclectic bucket. We have up to 130% gross long. So think about it simplistically, 100% long stocks or equities, and then 20 to 30% long that other bucket. And it's really only across 5 or 10 names. And no position is more than 5 or 6% of our capital.
Mike, I'm really curious on the short side, how do you manage risk? Because if a position moves against you, theoretically, you could face unlimited losses. So how do you manage that? And of course, sort of the backdrop here is the GameStop situation, right, which has gotten a lot more run. How do you manage that short side of the book?
Yes, it's a very, very hot topic right now. I have 16, 17 years of short selling experience. And I guess the experience, I hope, lends nicely to us packaging this in an ETF. When you look at our short book, there's a couple things that we don't do. We're not shorting small cap. We're not shorting high short interest. And the first question we always ask is this a takeout candidate? Because that's really a big fear in the market where we live in now, where equity markets are extremely rich. So there's equity currency to acquire smaller companies, and debt is extremely cheap. There's easy money. So when you look at our short book today, I mean, I think the average market cap is about $80 billion. And that's by design. We don't want to be in small caps, which I think is a nice risk deterrent or avoiding that big takeout premium. And then when you think about the basket of shorts, our short exposure at max would be 30% of our capital. And after 15, 16, 17 years of running a short book. We're targeting short positions of no greater than 1.5%. So when you think about 30% across 20 names, it's roughly 1.5%, and higher beta names, only 1%. And that's kind of the behavioral finance element that I've learned over the years. Oftentimes you'll have a short position that may be not that big as a percent of your capital, but it takes too much of your time. So having 20 names that are equal weighted, where you can be convicted, but not necessarily emotional or anchored to one particular position. I think all of that as a mosaic puts together a nice short book that hopefully can generate some alpha.
You mentioned the two main goals of this ETF being capital appreciation and income generation. Where does this fit in a portfolio? And I guess along with that, what should investors expect just in terms of the overall risk return profile?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. When you think about kind of the classic 60-40 model, equity, bonds, and now, you know, these days we have that alternative bucket. I think what's interesting that we present to the table, yes, we're an alternative, we're a long-short strategy, but we're actually a liquid alternative strategy. When you think about investors in that 60-40 model, when they go into that alternative bucket, it's often in very illiquid type stuff, private credit, et cetera. Well, we're offering an intradaily liquid alternative that's paying, again, you know, twice that coupon or twice the dividend of the S&P. So when I hope when investors put together that 60-40, we're somewhere in between the equity and bond. I mean, we are a lower volatility equity component that also kicks off a nice income stream.
All right. Something else, just in looking at this ETF that I'm curious about, you are using the transparent ETF wrapper here. And, you know, certainly I think transparency is a benefit in the ETF wrapper. But can you talk more about that? Like, did you consider the non-transparent wrapper to help protect your intellectual property?
No, we did not. I'm pretty strongly opinionated on this topic. The beauty of the ETF is investors love the transparency. That's why we see February numbers exploding with respect to inflows. ETFs are displacing the mutual fund, and the beauty of the ETF is the fully transparent component. Bringing semi-transparent or non-transparent to the ETF, I think, is a mistake. I've heard the opinions that, hey, oh, we want to protect our intellectual property. This is our secret sauce. I've worked in the big mutual fund shops, been in the investment committee meetings. I just don't believe that there's anything that needs to be secretive. Many of these managers, they own the same 5, 6, 7 names. There's no reason not to be transparent. So we are fully transparent, long and short, and we will remain that way.
Now, it's funny, I've heard the same thing. I asked this question of most active managers who are using the transparent ETF wrapper, and the feedback's always the same, that concerns over front-running are overblown. They're not worried about protecting the IP, that, you know, if they believe in their process and they believe in what they're doing, their active management, that it just doesn't matter. So interesting to hear your comments on that.
To that point, I think it's just the star manager who's got an ego that doesn't want to dent it. So you look at, you know, Ark and Kathy Wood, she's fully transparent and doing just fine.
Mike, before I let you go, I saw that Leatherback has another ETF coming out at some point, the Leatherback Long Short Absolute Return ETF. The ticker on that will be LBAR, LBAR. I'm not sure if you can comment on that, but what are the future plans for the firm?
Yeah, sure. So when we crafted Leatherback, our mission statement is to be a premier provider of actively managed alternative ETF strategies. LBAY seemed to resonate with our kind of first investors, that yield component, and it's a long bias product. So LBAR, LBAR will be a lower net. It's called 0 to 80%, where LBAY is 75 to 110% net long. And those are kind of our first two products. LBAR hopefully will launch in the next 9 to 12 months. And then we want to grow in the active alternative space. The other active alternatives or alternatives that are out there, they tend to be at firms with lots and lots of different products. And active long short isn't really their specialty. We want to be that alternative focused only ETF provider.
Well, Mike, I certainly wish you the best of luck. Really enjoyed the conversation this week. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for your time.
That
was appreciate it.
That was Mike Winter, founder and CEO of Leatherback Asset Management. That'll do it for this week's ETF Prime. As always, you can find me on Twitter, at Nate Geraci, or you can send comments through etfprime.com. Next week, I'll be joined by Rich Lee, head of program and ETF trading at Baird. This will be interesting. So Baird is an authorized participant, and we're going to talk about all the ins and outs of ETF trading, sort of what goes on behind the scenes. And then Joel Shulman, founder and managing director of ER Shares, will spotlight their two ETFs, which seek to hold entrepreneurial companies. Until then, have a great week, everyone.